No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is Old School 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Austin Orman here. No Jay Foreman today, but that's all right. That means that we got a different kind of Hall of Famer. And the boss man, the owner, DP, is in for this hour of Old School on a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday here in the capital city. DP, thanks for stepping in. Appreciate it. How are you?
I didn't know you were aware of my nightclub Hall of Fame dancing.
I didn't say which
resume,
Hall of Fame.
Resume. I didn't know that my nightclub Hall of Fame resume had made it to Lincoln.
The Nebraska. Exploits are legendary.
Oh, man.
We hear tales.
There are some stories. Those are all factual, sir.
402-464-5685. If you know about DP's exploits, tell a story. Maybe don't do that. Just kidding. If you want to be a part of the show, Sardar Heyman Jewelers text line and streams always open for you. Again, 402-464-5685. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. This is also Sauce Gardner, brought to you by Chris Ballard. DP, I am floored. I am stunned. Something got into Chris Ballard over the offseason. Maybe it was the fear of God. Maybe it was the fear of losing his job. I don't know what it was. Maybe there was some sort of like Freaky Friday, you know, body swap going on here. You know, maybe the spirit of AJ Preller or Les Snead found its way to Chris Ballard's residence and made him a brand new man. But the Indianapolis Colts signed two relatively high-profile free agents on defense in Cam Bynum and Charvarius Ward. And now, at the trade deadline, they say, nope, that's not enough. Our cornerback room decimated by injuries. Sauce Gardner, come on down. I like it. I don't know if I love it. I get it. I just don't know what to do with my hand seeing the Colts do something relatively splashy in season. I don't know what to make of it.
Splash has a cost.
It does.
Splash has a cost. And if you're willing to be the person enjoying the splash, that's cool. But there's the water has to leave the pool. And what leaves the pool may be of value. Mm-hmm. If you said to me the possibility of the Colts winning a Super Bowl, and then you measured that by saying, I think you're an elite corner away from that. Okay. There's some juice for the squeeze. If you tell me that the Colts are 2 years away or a year away, then giving up those two first-round draft picks, splash, splash. different splash, right? That's the one where you're tanning and you're being patient.
The foot pool more so than
right,
the pool.
Like it's just a thing. So I'll ask you as a Colts fan whether you think they were one player away from being legitimate Super Bowl contenders.
I think they're already illegitimate Super Bowl contenders.
Why?
You know? A lot of numbers point that this is sustainable.
What
this
numbers?
Is real.
Give me numbers.
There's all sorts of numbers that would point to it. Look at their offensive numbers in terms of yards per play. They had few turnovers before going to Pittsburgh, which is really the black eye right now. Really good EPA offensively. Defense has been trending in the right direction despite all the injuries in the backfield. A lot of their offensive ranks look sustainable. They're not necessarily, you know, just big play merchants. Yeah, they faced an easier schedule, but they've dominated an easier schedule. I'm on board with the Colts being real enough that this is a worthwhile swing, maybe for this year, but at the very least, for the next 2 years. Here's how I think about this as a Colts fan. Number one, this year has been a surprise. I expected them to get 7 wins on the year, not go 7 for their first 9, and then have one against the Falcons before they head to a bye week. But you get a guy in Sauce Gardner who has shown all pro capability. Don't love the, you know, potential change of scenery vibes around him. If you're not trying hard for one team, why would you all of a sudden try hard for another team? But it lines up really well that Sauce Gardner already has his extension done for a team that had some cap space. They can absorb it, not have to worry about the contract negotiations or anything. And really, with the other contracts that the Colts have, this sets them up for a 2 to 3 year window before all these other contracts really come due while at the same time. Figure out who you're going to extend, figure out who it is you're going to let go. Kind of locks them into the Daniel Jones experience, which I'm not fully on board with. But those two first round picks, as valuable as they are, become less valuable in the Colts' mind if they think that, hey, we're going to be picking toward the end of the first round. We've made hay in the second, third, and fourth rounds over the last 5 years under the Chris Ballard regime. So you know what? We're really banged up. We got a, in our mind, you know, top three corner in the NFL, maybe more for, yes, an expensive price, but we think that he can make more of an impact in this Super Bowl window than either of those two first round picks will.
So back to your statement. What if you take the last two dominant NFL franchises who won a bunch of Super Bowls? What does this version, 9 weeks in, this version of the Colts have that the Chiefs and the Patriots had? Because I don't see it, and you didn't see it 9 weeks ago.
Correct.
So talk me through this so I understand what metric exactly, what number exactly sets up to represent what winning Super Bowls in the NFL currently is.
This to me from the Colts is not, hopefully it's a Super Bowls move. I would love that if it was a Super Bowls move. But if you're asking for one number, I don't know if I have the exact number to point to that. Oh, yeah, this is absolutely okay, what
well,
it is.
Well, but, I want to make sure I wasn't missing anything. So go ahead.
But the offense right now is the best offense in the NFL by EPA per play, which is a pretty stable metric. It's opponent adjusted. The defense is about middle of the pack. You had a proven defensive playmaker.
You know that's not a real number, right? You know that's not a real football.
Are any numbers real?
You know that's not a real football number. That's you know, the EPA is not. Tell me what the Patriots under Brady's EPA was.
Really good. Every year.
Give me, what was the number?
Every year. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I know it was really good.
Chiefs. What does
the Chiefs were the best offensive EPA really of all time in some of their Super Bowl runs.
Okay, so, but that's, okay, so.
But do we look over long, or are we looking at the season? Well, the Colts made a move for this season and next season and maybe the season after that. And if I'm not allowed to be happy that the Colts went in to give themselves a chance.
I want you to be thrilled from the rooftop thrilled. But when we talk about Super Bowl metrics, first of all, their style of play that has to match. Defensively, their styles of play that not only last through an NFL season, but then transfer over into the elite games that are played in January. Mm-hmm. And nothing about Daniel Jones transfers or highlines that he's going to be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback compared to the other quarterbacks. He's going to have to be better than for this team to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. That's where I was good. You're not wrong. I just wanted to hear the number. I was hoping there was a number because third time today I heard somebody use that, and I'm always curious. What are you talking about? Because there are things that happen within the game that are identifiable. If you tell me yards per rush on third down, passing efficiency on third down, red zone passing efficiency, touchdowns to interceptions in red zone. Because that tells me if you're either able to score or defend the score in those critical games, bad weather games, against high caliber opponent games. And then because beating Jimmy and Joe is not the same as beating the Manny and Moe's of elite January football.
Mm-hmm. But the Colts have never been in position to at least have a chance at that. And the Colts are in position right now to have that chance.
Yes.
Nothing is ever guaranteed.
Yes.
No, Daniel Jones does not look the part of Patrick Mahomes 2.0. No, he doesn't look like Tom Brady. I get that. He probably never will. But at least he's in position, right? I mean, you want some numbers here, just some. Football points per game, Colts are scoring a league-best 32.2 of them. That's not bad. Rushing yards per game. Colts right now are top quarter of the league, 125.6. Okay, that's a way to win. You look at passing yards per game. Sure, they're third in the league at about 258 yards per game. In terms of total offense, the Colts are number two behind only the Buffalo Bills.
And those are some of the surface numbers. These texts are funny.
They are. I love them. I appreciate them. I do, and we'll certainly get to that. If you look at the defensive stats, right, passing yards per game, Colts towards the bottom, allowing 244.8 yards per game. Rushing yards per game, much better. They are fourth in the league, allowing just 87. And in terms of points per game, the Colts are, again, a top eight unit, allowing 20.1 points per game.
And is top eight the metric? Is that the standard that you're shooting for?
Well, top eight gives you a chance. In an NFL that hasn't been dominated by any one team this year, all the normal regular contenders, put them in air quotes, right? Chiefs have questions. Eagles have questions. Bills have questions. Ravens have questions. Lions are answering more and more of their questions. Packers have questions. And these teams that you would have thought before the year are the, yeah, we're going to get there. The Colts have said, no, with our play on the field, we've broken into that conversation. And that's a huge step in the right direction. Oh. I don't care who won last year in as much as how it translates to this year. Sure, other teams have more championship DNA. Absolutely, we've never seen it from the Colts before. But they seem legit for this year's NFL, and they made a move to make themselves more legit for this year's NFL.
So I am of the belief system that there's regular season football, and then there's postseason football.
I agree.
And that a lot of the metrics where people get in trouble, Detroit Lions a year ago, right? That in the regular season, they did all of these things until you got into an octagon where there was no escape and you had to figure out a way or you weren't getting out.
Well, there are teams like that every year.
That part. Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm not saying the Colts aren't that team. I'm saying very well they could
then
be.
You lean to. In those situations, what do we know versus what we think we know? And I tend to land more firmly in what we know versus what we think we know. What we think you know gets you in trouble, right? That I hope this thing plays out the way that we see it. But the reality is the reason why there is a finite, and I mean a very finite group of teams and players who win Super Bowl championships in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. The reason why is all that metric stuff goes out the door when you got to be a dude against a dude. Mm-hmm. When you have to face a dude in the most critical times with the most critical plays, there is a handful, and I mean just simply a handful of teams, players, organizations, coaches that are built for it. And the reality is, we can go through and name four franchises with three quarterbacks who legitimately ran the NFL for the last 18 years and all the comers and goers be on your way. Nice try. But this was grown man territory. January we talk about basketball in the sense that there's a meat grinder involved in the ACC. There's a meat grinder in the Big Ten Conference. And we often say, quite frankly, Big Ten teams, when it comes to basketball, tend to eat each other up. They consume one another, and there's nothing left when they go face the lion from another den. There's nothing left. That's been the story, except for the one.
Okay, they're often the lion that's in the den.
AFC football, AFL football, AFC football, has some leadership at the top that four of the best leaders, the best leaders, and four of the best coaches sit firmly in the path of the Indianapolis Colts. And that in any case, even playing at home at the same pace and rate of success they've had currently, do I not really think that the Colts would be favored against any of them?
Of course they wouldn't be. They haven't been there. They haven't done it before. But that's it seems like you want them to guarantee a Super Bowl win by getting Sauce Gardner.
I'm just saying
just what it sounds like. Why do you make this move unless you're going to win a Super Bowl? You make this move to help you win a Super Bowl.
My question was, if you give up two first round draft picks, mm-hmm. if you tell me that the Colts are one player away right now
from having a chance,
I'm gonna lean away. If you tell me that you're a year and two first round picks away. Okay, I can now dance to that beat. I could get that you can tell me that two first-round draft picks or the accumulation of will get you the three players that will make you Kansas City Buffalo friendly, right? That you belong in the neighborhood and you can stay in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. right? You can stay in the neighborhood. It takes a perfect script right now. Mm-hmm. Fair? That's a
– yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at them getting Sauce because, bruh, you can face some dudes. I'll ask you, as a Colts fan, was that the position of need or just one of two?
The more and more I've thought about it, I mean, it's been, what, like 4 hours-ish since the move has broken?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was the move at the position of need.
Offensively, what's the position of need?
Hard to say there really is one right now. I mean, you could argue quarterback. You know, obviously Daniel Jones isn't Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. I get that. Lamar Jackson obviously needs to be in that conversation. Joe Burrow.
Did you really just say that you're not going to give Lamar the two-time MVP?
I put him in that, right, but in terms of the team success, right, this year the Ravens are down. So I was thinking about teams that are right now in the playoff picture. Baltimore's got some work to do. No, Daniel Jones is not Lamar. No, he's not Patrick Mahomes. No, he's not Josh Allen. And I get that. And he'll have to prove it. Maybe he has to hit that level one game, maybe two or three. And the more you ask him to do it, the less likely he's going to be able to. But you want to play big boy, grown man football? Mm-hmm. How about a top three offensive line in the league in Indianapolis? Had a really bad day against Pittsburgh. That's really the black eye. How about
you think their line, not their running back, but their
offensive line is a top three unit in football.
Based on what?
Based on all sorts of stuff. The pressure to sack rate has been really good until the last 2 weeks. They're, again, a top four rushing offense in football.
That is Taylor?
It's back and forth, right? You can give credit either way. Of course, Jonathan Taylor's incredible.
Well, if you say to me that the Colts are the number four rush offense in football, I'm going to applaud from the rooftop. If you tell me that that offensive line, that group of five, is top three in the NFL, I'm going to tell you no, it's not.
It's been playing like it.
Man, that Kool-Aid must be that.
It's been playing
like
it.
That is some good
Colts. It's been playing like it. They've avoided sacks. They've run the ball consistently. What more can you ask for?
Are they defending Daniel the runner Jones? The scrambling, run out of the pocket, stay on the move, Daniel Jones.
They have not asked him to do that much this year. He hasn't had to run for his life.
Oh.
He hasn't had to because the offensive line has
been
good.
Austin, I'm clutching pearls I'm not even wearing. Like, I love how much you love this team. And as they advance and grow, I'm going to cheer with you. I just also, in asking the question, was that if I think that the Colts are this season, whatever this plays out to be, first round, second round, whatever, mm-hmm. and the two number one draft picks from being in that three-team conversation for the next 5 years, even with Daniel Jones, I'm not sure that trading a end of season corner who has to adjust and fit in. We don't know chemistry wise what he's going to do to that locker room, because that's been the story in the Jets. And my goodness gracious, the Jets was kind of a bad seed sort of farm. Mm-hmm. So why would you do that? And why would you go inject that into mm-hmm. your perfectly good soup? If your soup is, you've got the best soup in the whole AFC community, why would you inject this thing that is not known or familiar into it to change it? To change it. You're going to change the way you play, right? You're going to change the way you engage. You're going to change the way you call defensive schemes, right? Because now you're going to free up some people to do some additional things, which means you're going to go away from the thing that got you the best record in the conference, right?
Maybe. You've also made it work with some really sketchy backup cornerbacks for a while, and you saw an opportunity for a guy that wasn't widely thought of as available,
yeah,
and you went and got him. So, yeah, he's an unknown. Yes, it's a risk. Absolutely, it is.
Hey, Ben,
but
you're making your bet. Ben, go to your corner. Go to your corner. Ben, go to your corner. Go to your corner. How about that? I just saved you 10 minutes of text time. How about that? Go to your corner. Yeah, I'm that dude today. I'm just picking at Austin, my little brother Austin, because I know how much he loves this Colts team, and I appreciate what they've done, and I like the addition of Sauce Gardner, except 2 first-round draft picks.
Understand it from the Colts mindset.
They think they're right there.
It's the bet that they're making. Yeah. I'm not saying they were right or wrong to do it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that's the bet they're making.
I love the onions required to do it.
Which he had not shown. Ballard had not shown them.
Right? Right? Like, it's exceptional, the season that the 9 weeks that they've had. Exceptional business, man. Mm-hmm. Like, fully. To get that from what everybody wrote off. And to get into the place where you're in the conversation, not only in the conversation, but you're one of the first ones in the room. So that all makes sense. And then you added a legitimate Pro Bowler to the fold.
Even all pro. Not just Pro Bowler, but all pro.
And then if you told me that you could do that and get two of the best players either next year or in the next 2 years to add to whatever you have in play, oh my goodness, right? Because there's some dudes. You could even take those two and go get another dude who is your choice in full, right? Doesn't come with luggage, right? Doesn't come with it with bad seeds attached. It's just your guy, and he's going to be your guy. He's not going to know any other way other than the Indianapolis Colts way. Mm-hmm. Now you're bringing a dude that's going to walk in and go, because the first time the defensive coordinator asked him to do something in a situation against Marvin Harrison Jr. And he goes, nah, why would we do that? Because it's going to happen.
Oh yeah.
It's going to happen. I still think you will finish the regular season with the best record in the AFC. That's possible.
It's on the table.
Likely part of the conversation. Then the cooking gets interesting.
Agreed.
Right? Because there are people who cook all year long, but when it comes time for that Thanksgiving dinner, they get out the way and let the grown folks cook, because there's a lot of timing required, a lot of chemistry required. Don't get fancy. Don't try experimenting for Thanksgiving dinner. Let the grown folks who have 30 years experience of doing this do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not sure that that's where we are yet.
Which is fair. Again, I'm not saying it's a perfect move, but I'm saying I like it. And if you think about specifically that 2026 first rounder that the Colts gave up, they gave up a 26 and a 27. By the time Sauce Gardner's extension is done, you'd have to be thinking about picking up the fifth year option on that first round pick. So really, you got Sauce Gardner said this year's first, and then the 2027 first is a wild card. Here in just the last couple minutes, DP, I do want to touch on the other move that the Jets made, and that is trading Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys for a first and a second round pick. So that leaves the Jets with 7 first round picks across the next 2 years, 4 firsts in 2026 and 3 in 2027. Dallas also traded for Wilson, the linebacker from Cincinnati earlier. I think that was yesterday, actually, late yesterday, early today. But man, New York Jets, Aaron Glenn in the building, tearing down the defense, the thing that guy was known for.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Like to watch that play out. And I was listening to folks just this weekend talk about Williams and his advancement at this stage in his career. Like, we forget that he's a dude, right? Mm-hmm. And to watch that and then to have him be available for this sort of thing, I would imagine some teams swung and missed. They didn't know he was available.
Not widely,
right?
From what I've heard.
Yeah. Maybe not knowing he's available. But this is the time of year where relationships matter, right? Because there's two GMs that like each other that go, hey, man, not for nothing, I got one for you. Are you interested? The answer is like, really? I can have him?
Okay.
Sure.
It's yeah.
From the text line, I was just saying, it says, with what you're saying, comparing this, Indiana Hoosiers are the same as the Colts. No pedigree, but they both have legitimate shots at winning it all. Come on, DP. When you say rushing yards on third down metrics, you lose credibility. Your co-host is right and you're wrong. A couple of things. My co-host is always right. He's always right. I never once in the conversation said he was wrong. Mm-hmm. It is almost as if you didn't listen. Because what I asked him was for more information. I never said you were wrong. I would never think that you were wrong. Your opinions are valid. They're well thought out. They're well. I just said, give me more. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And he says, you're wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. And I'm okay with that too. Austin Orman.
Let me jump off really quick on that Indiana thing. I think that is a good way to look at this team. And then we can just stop that text right there. And I have nothing to add on to the end where, what DP said, right? But yes, it's hard to believe a team is real till they show you they're real. All that I can ask the Colts to do is make moves to win games and win games. That's what they've done so far.
Yes,
there is no guarantee that it's going to continue.
Yes, they have.
The only way that it gets legitimized is by doing it again.
Yeah.
But I can't tell the future.
No.
My gut tells me this helps the Colts. You know,
I like that you went and did something. And it was substantial.
Yes.
Can I say this? That had it been Williams instead of Gardner, I would have had a entirely different reaction and response, because I think Williams added to the Colts defense makes it more difficult for Kansas City and Buffalo. Is that fair?
That is disrespecting. Don't make me say his name again. Don't make me say his name again, DP. You walked right up to that ledge.
Right. That's literally why I took you there.
DeForest Buckner. Respect that man.
That's literally
Big Grover Stewart. Respect that man.
That's literally why.
Latu Latu. Respect that man.
Do they not understand that it is literally my place in this just to agitate Austin? Like, do they not get this?
If they don't, they haven't been listening long enough.
Oh, man.
And joke is on.
That's so good. Them.
Coming up tonight, the first college football playoff rankings will be revealed. Let's dive into that when we get back here to Old School.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, we're back. Austin Orman, DP, with you here at 93.7 Ticket, ticketfm.com. Big thanks, as always, to our friends at Heartland of Nebraska Windows for their sponsorship of the show. You can learn more online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com or give them a call at 402-430-3852. Heartland of Nebraska Windows, based out of Hallam, Nebraska. They offer free estimates, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. They're locally and family owned as well, with their own team of installers. DP, the college football playoff has its own team of installers. They call it the Selection Committee. Nebraska Athletic Director Troy Dannon involved, former Nebraska head coach Mike Riley involved. Really cheesy video put out by the football playoff account yesterday about everyone leaving their hats at the door. I get the symbolism. It was cheesy. Whatever. Do your thing. But they unveiled their first rankings tonight. Let's just start in the top four. I have Ohio State at one, Indiana at two, A&M at three, Alabama at four. Does that feel pretty concrete to you?
Yeah, it seems to be the entire circuit of ESPN, CBS, NBC, et cetera, of folks who tend to agree on those things as the top four. And whatever order you want to put them in, they would make some point that, again, in a lot of these cases, that's going to change because these teams are going to face each other maybe once, sometimes twice, mm-hmm. over the time where these bids actually go out. Do you want to put somebody in there that a loss would dictate losing one of them if they're not one of the best teams? But I'll pitch you this. To me, just simply to me, undefeated teams at this stage of the season should be ahead of one-loss teams.
Should be.
That's just, if you are BYU, you have earned through your undefeated Big 12 season a bye. You've earned it over the one-loss SEC, ACC, Big Ten team. That's just me. So that's where I land.
Okay. Let me ask you this then, DP. The next group of teams in terms of the playoff would be 5, 6, 7, and 8. The teams hosting a first round game on campus. Right now, who do you think would have those home games on campus? Fizz, up to you.
So it's 4 plus 4, right?
Yes.
Let me look. I actually had the list last night talking to.
I think to me it'd be Georgia. I would have BYU there at number 6. I think. I mean, I'm with you. Undefeated teams should get the nod. Then I would say Ole Miss gets a home game, and then I think Oregon.
Here's why I think BYU should get it. But it's the same reason why I hope they don't. Because if you think you're going to play high quality football in Provo, Utah in January, in late December, pack some gear, pack some Eskimo shoes, pack some parkas. You're about to live. You won't be able to see the numbers on the field. You will not be able to see the lines on the field. Like, I'm just they moved that Holy War game from the last week of the season because it was always a snowball and miserable. Mm-hmm. Miserable. So the fact that you're going to make, and quite frankly, I need for like USC to go. I need a southern cold, a cold, I need a warm weather team to have to go to Provo, Utah and play this game. So yeah, there's that. They look like the 8. It's a gut punch feeling, but I think somebody's going to end up in South Bend, Indiana.
I put Notre Dame as the 11.
Yeah.
Is what I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, they have 2 losses already, really only jumped because other teams lost. Didn't really do anything of their own.
I'm going to remove. To get to my 12, I'm going just because of what they've done to date. I'm going to remove all the 2 lost teams. You had an opportunity to play yourself into the 12. Mm-hmm. If you're a 2 lost team, you failed twice already. Like, you've been tested at this, and there's no guarantee that the teams were better than the ones you lost to. So sorry, Notre Dame, you got to move. Oklahoma, you're not in the conversation. Texas, you're not in the conversation. Vanderbilt, you're not in the conversation. Utah, Miami, you're not in the conversation. USC, Michigan. Michigan, hey, I'm going to say it again. Michigan does not belong in the conversation. Tennessee, Washington, Cincinnati. So everybody else into the pool. Everybody else play your way, play it. If you're a 1-loss or an undefeated team, you're in the conversation.
You know who's a 1-loss team that's undefeated in conference, DP?
Who that is?
The Hoos.
Mm-hmm.
I have them as the 10 right now.
Well, I told you Saturday night. I'm having a hard time keeping my Gators down when it comes to the Virginia Cavaliers. Like, we saw the early season win on primetime television. Mm-hmm. They may be the least appealing 1-loss team I've ever seen because they play everybody close, mm-hmm. whether they're 30 points better than them or 3. They're going to play you. It's going to be the same game every week. They're going to get up. Their defense is going to hold it close. The opposing team will make a run, and then Virginia will make a stop in a final drive to give it the right point spread. But they could win the ACC and get a bye.
Or they could flame out in spectacular fashion. It's all on the table for Virginia because of that style of play.
Well,
just ask Tony Bennett.
Well, if it comes – yeah, well, that's a different – basketball for them has a different feeling than you sitting on the lawn on the berm at that stadium with all the preppies and blue Argyle and orange blazers, which is a thing somewhere in your near future. I need to send you to Charlottesville for a game day just to experience the frats and sororities and all of that sort of tradition at the lawn. But it could come down to them and Virginia Tech, their season. Could come to, and you don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want that. So, they strike me as being in a January 1st or 2nd bowl, but not in the big dance. That's just me.
No, that's fair. I would like to remove Notre Dame from consideration, but I do think that they will end up with a spot in tonight's rankings, whether or not I like it. I would be really curious to fast forward through the end of the year and see if Virginia survives, if Louisville maintains its pace, or Georgia Tech just suffered a weird loss to North Carolina State, but the Bees were balling right before that. Two loss Vandy feels like they lost some steam. Texas has a chance to pick up a couple big wins. If Texas ends the year 9-3 and they have...
They better not.
I know.
They better not.
But then we get into the same conversation we had with Alabama last year.
I'm consistent.
I know. I agree.
Zero loss and one loss teams are the only ones that get my attention. If you failed the test twice, Austin, if we go to a driving test and you fail it twice, you can't drive me. Those are the rules. I'm sorry. I'm not.
But are you sorry? No. I'm not.
Yeah, we're there for the ride. Like, you're there to enjoy yourself. Yeah, this is going to be interesting. But that's a two-loss team in college football currently. Mm-hmm. That some days it's a limo. Some days, lemon. And that you're just going to accept it. That that's what it's going to be. So I'm going to lean heavily on the undefeated and the one-loss folks. The one-loss folks, I mean, you're not talking about that big of a number. Start with Memphis, Georgia Tech, Louisville.
Do you think Memphis holds on to the group of five?
No. Ooh. Virginia, Texas Tech, Oregon, Georgia, Alabama. So eight teams. Add to that the four undefeated gives you your 12. I'm just going to simplify it just for the sake of what kind of season have you had? The coaches would tell you we would like to finish at zero losses. We're perfectly accepting of a one-loss season. Two losses means we failed at some things. And we failed at them twice. Mm-hmm. So give me the zero and ones. Everybody else has got to stay in the line. Go. You're okay going to the other bowl. You can go to the Outback. I'm cool.
Right now, I have five SEC teams, three Big Ten teams, two Big 12 teams, ACC and Group of Five. I might have rearranged
Who's your third Big Ten?
My third Big Ten, so I have Ohio State, I have Indiana, and I have Oregon.
Man.
From the Big Ten. I have Alabama,
that makes sense.
A&M, Georgia, Ole Miss. So I guess it was four SEC, three Big Ten, two Big 12. I have BYU and Texas Tech both making it. One ACC, whoever the champion is right now, Virginia.
Yep.
I have Memphis in my group of five, and then I do think Notre Dame will be in there as of today.
Virginia and Georgia Tech.
I don't have them both in.
So one of them will get in. Boy, yes. ACC.
Whoever that ACC champion is. And again, I wouldn't have Notre Dame there myself, but I think they're going to be there.
Dabo out there squeezing lemon in the soup, man.
If there is a fourth Big Ten team, DP, is it USC? Is it Iowa?
My stomach hurts.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Oh, I retasted lunch right there. Right? Because we saw USC and went, not for sure. Not so much. Nothing about this, because that means that Nebraska is going to have to fail at home against Iowa for that to happen. And we are not having that. We're not going to have it, Billy Hole. We're not going to have it. No, I'm not. I can't. So... I think Michigan with a win over Ohio State could shake the rattle and roll if they finish the rest of their season with wins. But I also think that would just only be to get themselves in the conversation, not to kick Ohio State out. I think Ohio State would still end up
in the
top eight.
Yeah.
So... And then, oh, by the way, there are the Washington Huskies sitting firmly at number 24.
Like you said, already with two losses.
Right. They're not going to be.
Can they walk the tightrope, or are they that last team in?
No.
I don't know.
Listen, as long as there are enough undefeated and one-loss teams, no two-loss team should be in this conversation. Like, you can say that, well, what if you're a conference champion? Okay, that means your conference wasn't very good.
And do we really want you at our party?
Right. Like, do I need you at my table?
Mom told me I had to invite you to my party.
Right. Right. You get cake, but you don't get to make a plate and take one with you. So
that's absolutely.
Yep.
We'll take that one with us to break. We'll be back to wrap up Old School, get you set up for Outside the Box, for Weekly Disrupt, Takedown Tuesday, all that good stuff right after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back one final time here on Old School. Austin Orman, D. Pete with you, getting you set up for Outside the Box. Got head coach Lincoln Stars Rocky Russo waiting in the wings outside. This final segment brought to you, as always, by the good people at Buffalo Wings and Rings. Check them out. Two locations here in Lincoln. Our friends down at 68th know, as well as 40th and Old Janie. All sorts of great stuff going on there. It's football season. It's basketball season. They got TVs. They got the games. They got the food. Get yourself over there. DP, we have some numbers from alcohol sales at Memorial Stadium.
Do it.
Matt Brown of Extra Points did a Freedom of Information Act request to all sorts of public schools. Nebraska is not number one in something. Nebraska is only number two. Nebraska, this was through September, so no October numbers yet, still waiting for those to come in. But in August and September, Nebraska sold 168,293 units.
Give me the number
of alcohol.
Give me the number.
The number of units sold?
Yes.
168,293.
That's for September.
August and September, yes. So about 40,000-ish a game.
There was a home game in August? I thought they were on the road in August.
Well, it includes August and September, but for Nebraska, it would just be September.
Okay. Yeah. And then there were three home games or four?
Four. Would have been four.
So 40,000 a game.
A pop. 42,000 a pop. Is about
okay.
One for every two people.
Okay, so let me say this as nicely as I can say it. That 42,000 per game makes me feel about the same as I do about the 6-3 record. While I understand it, and I'm not going to boo it, it is not as impressive as I would like for it to be.
Let me tell you this, though. Not only is Nebraska number two in units sold, Nebraska is number two in revenue from alcohol sales. Nebraska has made $2,074,806.25 off of those 42 cans per pop.
Same number of tickets. I say the same thing about the 6-3 record and the crowds for those 6-3 games. That I'm not going to boo it. I expect better. Like, and it's sad that I expect better. Like, I really, like, are we really working in thirds for this?
Not really.
That a third are going to drink and consume heavy. A third won't drink at all. A third will kind of go with the crowd. But if you tell me that a third, that's 30,000 people, that you aren't power pouring. A third of the people, you got beer to a third. Let's just say you got to 20% of the people for two beers. That's what we're maxing out at, two beers.
What we're doing. And yet, that is better than every place in the country save one.
What's the one?
I'll give you a guess.
What's the one?
I'll give you a guess, DP.
What's the one?
I need you to say it. Who do you think it is? Give me your guess, please.
What's the one? Oh.
Familiar. It'll make sense. Very similar colors.
Utah.
It is not Utah. It's in the same conference as Nebraska.
Oh. Indiana? Oh, no. Maryland.
Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin has sold 255,122 units of alcohol for $3,088,690.
Are they that much beer friendly than everybody else?
It's been their reputation for a while. They get after it.
Utah drinks more before the game.
Wisconsin drinks before the game and during the game. And likely after the game as well.
I would have thought Georgia, Florida, Texas. I would have thought Texas.
Okay.
I would have thought Texas. Now that I think about it.
How about this? Texas is getting beat by North Texas.
But the Mean Green, that makes sense.
Your top five, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Tennessee, LSU, and Minnesota does not give the number of units, but Minnesota, in terms of revenue, is number five at just over $1 million.
I don't believe I don't believe you, PJ Fleck.
Then Michigan, Indiana, West Virginia, Kentucky, and Illinois.
I'm disappointed that Virginia is not. I'm disappointed that that number is so low.
Well, they don't sell Morgantown moonshine in the stadium.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair. That checks out.
So I'll give them credit for still being that high despite
that checks out.
The whole moonshine.
And they don't have a lot of nighttime games. Because nighttime's in Morgantown. Beer.
a little dangerous. Different kind of danger.
Different deal.
Walking into and hopefully out of Morgantown. DP, it's been a blast as always. Thank you, good sir.
Thank you for having me. Greatly appreciate it.
Getting out of the way, we got Outside the Box with the Lincoln Stars. Alex Fearn joined by head coach Rocky Russo and a couple of player guests. Tuesday afternoons roll along here, 93.7 The Ticket, ticketfm.com.